Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon. And what better topic to be talking about today than plastic surgery with our one and only Dr. Ted Vaughn. How are you doing today, Ted?
I'm excellent, Ann. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, spring is the time where people start getting body conscious, don't they?
They do, as soon as the Sports Illustrated bathing suit issue comes out.
Can you see an increase in telephone calls immediately?
I do, yep.
So you're praying that Sports Illustrated keeps doing that section there.
I will always keep my subscription just so they do.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. So, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about getting ready here today, I was thinking that the Affordable Care Act may not have actually affected you as much, has it? Because you are more private practice with what you do?
Well, certainly half of my practice is reconstructive surgery, so it impacts that, unfortunately. The other half is aesthetic. Okay. Plastic surgery. Because I'm the only guy in town, I cover the waterfront.
Sure. But so what has it meant then as far as reconstructive?
Well, do you want to get
no,
on
just
a long
the short. No, just a short. Yeah, synopsis here, Ted, please. I got a lot of questions. We've only got an hour.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the ACA as it currently stands is good for medicine in any way, shape, or form. Certainly there's a subset that will benefit, but the vast majority of us will suffer at the hands of ACA. And that's borne out in plastic surgery as well. It will make your reconstructive options more limited. You know, more defined by the government.
Right.
And it sort of takes the physician-patient relationship out of it.
Yeah. So that's, so from that standpoint, it has hurt your business as far as that goes, reconstruction?
Well,
or do you see it futuristically hurting it more?
Well, I don't participate in the plans.
Right.
Simply because they were so onerous, I decided
to the doctor,
not to participate.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately that, it's sort of like Russia, perhaps, in the following analogy. My brother went to Russia years and years and years ago, back when it was still communist, and he was wandering through the one big department store in Russia, and he noticed there's nothing on the shelves.
There's nothing to buy.
And so back then, you had to have a government-approved guide to go through Russia, and the guide says, "Yes, Dr. Vaughn." He goes, "Everything in Russia is free. There's just none of it."
I get it. Okay, I get it. Well, I mean, I was just one of the things that I was, because we've seen here in Greenwood the change from private practice to hospital-owned because, I guess, a large part because of the government.
It is because it's set up more to benefit the insurance industry hospital scenario than it is individual physicians. So it makes it much more difficult to survive as an individual physician.
Sure. So, switching over to the beauty part of it, how's the beauty business here then, Ted?
The beauty business goes on, you know, it's just my burden in life.
You have the responsibility to make
beautify Greenwood. That's right.
Wow.
Somebody has to do it.
That's right. What a responsibility. Okay. And as you're working with this, over the last few years, one of the things that I was wondering is that, you know, we have had a downturn in the economy over the last few years. And I was wondering if you've seen a difference in the beautification of Greenwood by the types of people that are doing this. You know, are we seeing lots of young people? Have we seen a decrease some in young people because of the economy?
My practice has always been rather broad. Again, because I am the only plastic surgeon here, I see the young, the middle-aged, and the old. My practice has always been rather evenly divided between what we would traditionally associate with younger patients, plastic surgery, breast augmentation, liposuction versus tummy tucks, facelifts, brow lifts that we associate more with the middle-aged and up population. Mm-hmm. So it's always been evenly divided. It did take a dip after 2008, so certainly my cosmetic side of the ledger took a dip from 2008 to 2010 or 11, and then it sort of gradually made, you know,
people couldn't stand ugly.
That's right.
I gotta do something.
it's gradually bounced back. And now we're about at the same level that I was, you know, 2008, 2009.
Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Actually, that is good to hear from that standpoint. Now, not only do you do plastic surgery, but you also, Lynn, does a skincare part.
She does. She runs a skincare clinic within Piedmont Plastic Surgery, and she stays very busy. I stay out of her way, and she does her own thing. That's great.
Well, no, I just wanted to mention it because I think that's sometimes people don't know that there is a whole side of skincare.
Yeah, you know, there is a medical side of skincare as opposed to the more spa esthetician type of skincare. So ours is all a medically based, prescription based skincare program.
So that's another part. If you're not familiar with that, you should check that out. Piedmont Plastic Surgery. Why do we call it plastic?
Very good word. Very good question. It's from the Greek plastikos, mm-hmm. Which is a verb meaning to shape or to mold.
Okay.
Plastic surgery as a medical specialty arose basically at the end of World War I, when medical care had progressed so such that people who were injured in the field no longer just died. Mm-hmm. Civil War.
Right.
You got hurt. That
you
was don't. It.
Right.
You know, slug a bourbon and bite the bullet. But medical care had progressed so that now these injuries were making it home. But they were left with severe deformity. So a guy named Sir Harold Gillies, who's the father of plastic surgery, he was a general surgeon in England, mm-hmm. basically created the field of plastic surgery. And he did it because he was having to figure out ways to reconstruct all the World War I veterans who had returned from the war.
How about that? I didn't know that. Yep. Very interesting.
Plastic surgery arose in 1919. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, so it's only, you know, less than 100 years old.
Wow. Interesting. Well, we are here with Dr. Ted Vaughn. We are going to be talking about plastic surgery. We're going to be talking about this new procedure called Cool Sculpting. We're going to be finding out what people are doing and how they're doing it. And when you see somebody that looks really good and they haven't looked good in a long time, maybe they had something done. And that's a good thing, folks. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS. We'll be back in just a second. By the way, if you want to call and ask Dr. Ted Vaughn a question, now's your opportunity. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I am here with Dr. Ted Vaughn. We've been getting some interesting calls. You know, the thing about plastic surgery, I think when you think of plastic surgery, basically we think of facelifts, we think of breast augmentation, and maybe tummy tucks and liposuction. But we just had somebody call about getting their toe shortened.
And that is not a plastic surgical procedure. Generally, it's an orthopedic procedure, but it's done. Generally, people who wear, it's more of a California thing.
Okay.
People who wear, you know, sandals and open-toed shoes all the time.
We wear flip-flops here all the time, Ted, in South Carolina. In the dead of winter, I have seen flip-flops, yes.
There are some people who wear flip-flops right. all the time. I'm not one of them. But if your second toe is longer than your great toe, it's called Morton's foot, and there are procedures done to shorten that to make your toes look more aesthetic.
Wow.
I don't do that, though.
No, but
orthopedic procedure.
But an orthopedic would. But, I never knew that there was something that could be done about that. Then we had somebody call in the last few minutes about ear sculpturing the ear.
Yes. Now, we do a lot of that. That's always been part of plastic surgery. Generally, it's done for one of two things, either prominent ears, where your ears stick out a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
There are things we do to make them more aesthetic by getting them closer to your head. And in some of my older patients, their earlobes will elongate mm-hmm. from years of using earrings.
Right.
And they don't like the big, long, hanging,
I think
drooping
they call
earlobe.
Those dog ears, don't they, quite often? I've heard ladies refer to my dog ears, so I'm not trying to
and
be.
And so we shorten those as well.
Wow. And then, of course, I guess if somebody has worn pierced ears and their ear has literally the hook
has pulled
through.
No, we do that all the time.
Through.
I do that several times a week. Yes, we repair pull-throughs.
Yes.
Something that will probably become more prevalent in the very near future is all the young people who are putting the big hoops in their ears and developing these huge, huge, elongated earlobes. Probably when they get out of their teens and out of their 20s, they will seek to have those repaired. I'm already doing a lot of them.
Pulling them back up to...
Correct, to try to make a more aesthetic earlobe, because it's, you know, hard to get a job at Ernst & Young with your earlobes down to your shoulders.
I can never figure out why people come up with some of these interesting things to do like that.
Interesting, yes.
Yes, interesting.
I mean, their body, I guess they can do what they want to with it.
Exactly.
Fortunately, there are things we can do to repair it.
Now, what about tattoos? Speaking of things you can do you do tattoo removal?
I no longer do tattoo removal. I used to, but I simply don't anymore. But yes, that will be a promising field in the near future.
Okay. I mean, do plastic surgeons in general do that? You're just not doing them?
Well, you know, anymore it's done with a laser. So it's either done by plastic surgeons or dermatologists. Most of the laser tattoo removal is done either by dermatologists or plastic surgeons. I just simply quit doing it a few years back.
I would imagine it's tough to get it totally removed to satisfaction.
No, you can do it, but the problem was that the laser technology changed so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, you could get a $100,000 laser and next year use it as a doorstop. So, you know, the amount of
investment.
Tattoo removal that I was doing, it didn't justify the expense for having the multiple lasers.
However, if off this interview that he starts getting hundreds of calls about tattoo changing, removing tattoos, he might consider it, right?
Probably still not.
Not, okay. That expensive, huh?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yeah, a good tattoo removal machine is, you know, $150,000.
Wow. Takes a while.
You got to remove a lot of tattoos.
That's right. Yeah. And this is Greenwood, right?
This is Greenwood.
Yeah. You know, as you talk about the different things that are out there to do, cool sculpting is one of the ones that I thought would be interesting to talk about because it's been all in the news, and I've seen the billboards out there about freeze your fat off, you know. What's it all about?
Cool sculpting is really amazing technology. It's been around for several years, but it's only been perfected over the past probably 2 to 3 years. We've had it in our practice for probably 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
It works by a controlled freezing of the fat cell. It's called cryolipolysis. Cryo meaning cold, lipolysis meaning lysis of the fat cell. So it works by freezing the fat cell, killing it. Then your body comes back and eats up the dead fat cell, and you reduce the amount of fat cells you have in the treated area.
Mm. Now, the thing about I know that you have, that it's been advertised is that it is something, there's no downtime.
There is no downtime. I did it to myself. Well, actually, I have a nurse do it to me.
You know, I think one thing you should know about Ted, because I've known Ted for years, is he does try these different procedures on himself.
Well, I haven't done a breast augmentation on myself.
Well, thank God. But he does try a lot of them, folks.
Or the home facelift. But, yes, all the non-interventional stuff, I do try myself just to see what it feels like and the results that you get from it. So, yes. I did cool
sculpting. Wait a minute. Did you have any fat to remove, Ted?
I did. I did it to my hip.
Okay.
And even though I am pretty lean, I did have a little area that I thought I would like a svelter appearance. So I treated myself. And it feels... like for the first 4 minutes or 5 minutes, it feels like somebody's holding an ice cube against your skin. So it's irritating, but it's not painful.
Right.
Then after that, the area is numb. As soon as I finished, I went home and rode about 20 miles. So there is literally no downtime associated with it. The area feels a little funny for about a week. It's sort of hard to describe. It's sort of, you know, just different when you run your fingers over it, but it's certainly not painful.
Now, what about how about the results? How do you see the results?
You know, it is not liposuction, so it's designed to remove isolated areas of excess fat. So think love handles on your hips. You know, if you have a little pooch in the middle that doesn't involve a whole lot of excess skin, that's what it's really designed to do. It can treat lateral thighs, medial thighs, so it can treat saddlebags. It can treat medial thigh, the bulge that you have along your medial thigh. It can treat arms. So anywhere that you have an isolated area of excess fat that has generally a good skin elasticity or good skin tone, it's amenable to cool sculpting. So it works very well. If you pinch, say you pinch a love handle,
right?
One treatment of cool sculpting is generally going to remove about 20 to 25% of what you have between your pinched fingers.
So if you wanted to get down so you were pinching less than an inch, it might take several times?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times it does take two treatments. I've never had anybody where I've treated them more than twice, because generally if you think about removing 50% of what you have pinched between your fingers, it's pretty close to normal.
Right.
But yeah, I guess you could ostensibly, if you had a big pinch, you could treat it more than twice.
Now, how long does it take to see results?
It takes about, in my experience, it takes about 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
So it's not something that you have on Friday and wake up on Monday and your two clothing sizes smaller. It does take about 8 to 10 weeks to see the results. And that's because the fat cell has been killed, but it takes your body that amount of time to basically what's called phagocytize or eat up the dead fat cell and remove it from your system.
Now, is there any difference between the effect on young people and, shall we say, middle-aged and older people?
Yeah, I think the younger you are, the better your skin elasticity, the quicker you see the result. You know, I have noticed that it does take longer in my older patients, those, you know, say 65 and above.
Right.
They do get a result. It just takes a longer time frame to see it.
Are people pleased with it, or are they disappointed because they think it's going to have the same type of effect, even though you tell somebody over and over that, you know, it's going to take a while? What's been your response with your clients?
The key to cool sculpting is choosing the right patient. If you don't choose the right patient, you're going to have an unhappy patient.
Right.
And, you know, as it has evolved in my practice, I've certainly become better at choosing the right patient, because it's not for everyone.
Right.
You know.
So for a lot of patients, would you still recommend liposuction then?
I mean, there are people that walk into my office that are there to see me about cool sculpting that really aren't good candidates for cool sculpting. And, you know, in good conscience, I can't, you know, recommend cool sculpting to them when I don't think it's going to benefit them.
How would it not benefit them?
Well, they have too much fat. They have too much skin, too much excess skin. I mean, those patients would be probably better candidates for liposuction or a tummy tuck.
Okay.
You know, you could get a result with cool sculpting, but it's more economical to just do the right
thing
operation
from the beginning.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But at the end, after 8 to 10 weeks, what has been your response back from your clients?
Generally, it's been very affirmative. You know, most people understand its limitations going in, and they're appreciative of the result they get coming out.
Hmm. Now, cost-wise, what kind of cost range is it?
Well, there's not a whole lot of range for it.
Okay.
You know, a treatment, I think, is around $725. So that's a one-hour treatment. So if you had bilateral hips, that would be two one-hour
treatments.
So it's done by basically the time frame on the card, right?
Okay. So and how long? And that's like per area?
Correct.
Per area?
Correct.
Cool. All right. Well, we're here with the one and only Dr. Ted Vaughn. Got questions, got comments, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Dr. Ted Vaughn of Piedmont Plastic Surgery. If after listening to Dr. Ted Vaughn here on the air today, please call 223-0505. Go in and talk to him. Now, Ted, if somebody is interested but they really don't know how it works, how does, if somebody has maybe the ears or something that they want to talk about, what do they do?
Just make an appointment to my office.
Okay.
You know, there are, for certain things that require a referral to my office, like lesions, generally I'll require a referral from their family practitioner or dermatologist for me to see a lesion, because I'm not really a dermatologist. But for cosmetics, all you have to do is call the office and make an appointment. I'll see you.
Sure. And like we said, you know, it's like the ear thing. You wouldn't necessarily think about it, but it is something that you might want to have taken care of.
We work head to toe.
Head to toe.
Except the toes. Although, you know, occasionally I'll do an ingrown toenail as well. We do it all, Ann.
We do it all. Wow. Now, you also have your own operating room right there. A lot of people may not know that.
I do. I have a certified operating room within my office. It's certified by Quadruple ASF, which is the certifying board for in-office operating rooms. So I do the majority of my cosmetic surgery within my office.
And so that makes it very convenient.
It is convenient. It's private. Sort of like Vegas. What happens at Vaughn's stays at Vaughn's.
You can even go out the back door.
That's right. We do have a back door, a hidden entrance.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, knock three times if you want to try to get into it, though, now. But, yeah, I mean, so there are a lot of things that have been done to make it more convenient and more private for the patient.
Correct, and more affordable, because certainly I have a different price structure for my operating room than, say, the hospital does.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, what about, you know, in all the procedures that we can look at, you know, it used to be, I think, a facelift was a really something that people did. Are people doing as many total facelifts today, or are they doing, what shall we say, maybe bits and pieces more?
Well, no, I still do a lot of facelifts. And in fact, it's one of my favorite procedures. But probably in the younger person, like in the 40s and 50s, whereas, you know, sort of, well, should I get a facelift or
right,
just wait? Now those people are getting laser and fillers and Botox. So it's sort of prolonging the time frame between when they first start being worried about facial aging and getting a facelift.
Sure. And I guess there's a lot of smaller things that you can do to try to keep the face fresh.
Well, sure. Skincare, you start with skincare, sort of like taking care of your car. You wash it and wax it and take care of it and change the oil. That's sort of skincare. And then you move on from
there. I've been waxing my face for years, Ted.
A buff and polish, yeah. And then you move up, you know, fillers. We're filling the lines, filling the wrinkles, laser, you know, a little bit more in depth. But again, it's non-surgical, non-interventional.
What does a laser actually do for the face?
Well, like the laser that I use a fractionated CO2 laser, and it works by having a very controlled, very tiny burn in your skin that tightens the skin. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking to improve the overall texture of your skin. You're looking to reduce fine wrinkling in your skin, and that's something that we achieve with the laser.
Sure. So the laser is used for that. Now, fillers. Haven't fillers come a long way since
years ago? You know, a few years back, there was only one filler, collagen. It lasted about 6 weeks. It was very expensive. So not very many people in my practice used it. It was more of a New York City thing that, you know, where you have the patient clientele that was willing to spend $500 for something that lasted 6 weeks.
Sure.
Yeah, the world of fillers has exploded. There's all sorts of different fillers. Juvederm, Radiesse, you know, Restylane, Sculptra. The list goes on, Artifil, the list goes on and on.
Now, how long do the fillers last today?
You know, basically hyaluronic acid lasts about a year. I tell people, you know, generally it's going to last between 10 and 14 to 16 months max. Mm-hmm. But for most people, it's about a year. Radiesse, which is a slightly different type of filler, you know, it lasts about 18 months. Sculpture lasts about 2 to 3 years. So they all have different indications, different longevities.
Well, you, I guess you see when somebody comes in, you can give them all different options.
Yeah, that's my job as a plastic surgeon is to, number one, know how to do things, and number two, to know what options to offer you. Okay, what is going to be appropriate for you? And there's never usually just one answer. There are multiple answers to that question. And then it's up to the patient to determine what's best for them. But a well-informed patient is what we want. These are your options. What do you feel most comfortable with?
Okay, so you're not just going to recommend, oh, yeah, you need a facelift, honey.
No. I mean, but on the other hand, if someone would be wasting their money mm-hmm. on fillers or laser when what they really need is a facelift. I mean, if they have enough facial aging that, you know, I can put
no amount of plumping is going to make a difference.
I can put $10,000 worth of fillers in you and it's not going to make a difference. You know, then it's up to me to tell that patient, you know, this is what I think you need. And I wouldn't recommend the other because you're not going to be getting your bang for the buck out of it.
Sure. So I guess it is maybe when you go in, maybe have some idea what you'd like to do, but don't be totally committed to what you, the person, thinks needs to be done.
Well, ultimately, the patient decides what's best for them. I'm simply there to offer them their options.
Sure. But it helps if you have more of an open mind. Maybe.
Correct. Because sometimes people come in, you know, convinced they need one thing, and, you know, in the end, that's not what they get because their perception is slightly different from reality.
Absolutely. So if you would like to go, I guess this is really, though, is getting into your busy season, is it?
Correct. Yeah. You know, spring and summer is when I do the majority of my cosmetic work. Body contouring work. Facelifts I do in the fall. That's more of a fall and winter kind of thing.
Why is that?
You know, it tends to be, people want to look good in a bathing suit.
Okay, right.
So, you know, they think
liposuction,
right? You know, breast augmentation. So they're more centered on those things. And then fall, you know, people are less socially active probably than in the summer.
Well, they're not walking around naked here.
Well, no, but say facelift.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's a recovery period for a facelift. You know, three weeks or so. So you know. People generally will do that in their off season.
In the off season, okay. So
January, February, March. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we are talking with Dr. Ted Vaughn. I knew this would be entertaining and interesting. It always is when we're talking about trying to fix our bodies. So why don't you stay right with us? If you've got a question for Ted, give us a call 229-7984. That's 229-7984. And if you'd like to call his office, 223-0505, that's 223-0505. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I knew talking to Ted, we'd go on all these different tangents. We've been talking about jewelry over here. But we are here to talk about plastic surgery and all the different parts of it. Ted, now where is your office at?
It's right across the street from the hospital at 305 West Alexander Avenue. So it's just literally across the street from the hospital.
Right. Nice and easy to get to. And do remember, he does have that back door. Now, that brings up another question, because a lot of people are really, really want to keep what they're doing private. You know, they don't want anybody to know. And I know that is something that you handle very surreptitiously. But it's not going to leave from your office, but it's hard when you've had stuff done to yourself, right?
Well, the key is to look natural.
Right.
Okay. So you never want to look unnatural, and that's when it becomes glaringly obvious.
Right.
You know, moderation in all things, like when you do a breast augmentation, you don't want your breast to get into the room a couple of minutes before you do.
You ever get anybody asking for the Kardashian boobs or the Kardashian?
Yes, I do.
No, come on now, really.
I do.
Yes, they want the. And what about the Kardashian lips? I understand that these girls are taking one of the Kardashian girls, they take and take a shot glass like and put it over their lips and then suck in the air to make their lips puff up.
I do not know about that, but it seems like it would be rather temporary.
Yes, it would be rather temporary. But, yes, you get people that come in, they want their lips like so-and-so or...
Yeah, but that's where being a plastic surgeon comes in. I mean, you have to know what's the right thing to do.
Right.
Okay. And the right thing to do is not always what the patient wants. If a patient has an unrealistic expectation, I simply can't take them on as a patient.
You just pass.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like making an outlandish piece of jewelry that you know isn't going to make the customer happy in the end.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to sort of have vision. Is it going to look good on them, or are they going to be happy with it?
Sure.
So jewelry and plastic surgery, share some.
Yeah, luxury items. There you go. Now, just out of curiosity, I mean, I'm just shooting out of the dark here. Are you able to show somebody with a computer?
No, I don't do computer imaging.
Okay.
Simply because I think some people mislead people with computer imaging.
Okay.
I'd much rather show them all my pre and post-op photos because that's reality.
Okay. What do you mean the pre and post-op? What is it?
You know, I have a book of pre and post-op photos. So, you know, I mean, some of my patients are more than happy to share their surgery with other people. And so, you know, I get releases for them. And, you know, I have a huge book and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos of pre- and post-op photos.
Wow. Okay. Didn't know that. Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Dr. Ted Vaughn. Some of the other things that are interesting that you do, Ted, some of the other procedures. I mean, we talked about the ears. What are some of the other ones? You used to do a lot of hand surgery.
I still do like endoscopic carpal tunnel release. I still do some soft tissue work of the hand, but I don't do much of the hand trauma anymore. My practice just wasn't able to accommodate that kind of schedule. You know, I do all the reconstructive surgery for most of the facial cancers, ears, nose, lips, eyelids. I do most of the reconstruction in this community for that. So I have, you know, I have a very varied practice.
Now, a lot of times, correct me if I'm wrong, that the drooping of the eyelids can come under an insurance doctor.
It is. It's getting more and more difficult to have that pre-certified as a procedure. I mean, you know, insurance companies love to take your money. They just don't like to
give it out. Yes.
Give it out. So, you know, short of complete and utter blindness, it's, you know, it's becoming
from
more
the
difficult.
Eyebrow being totally over the
that's
eye.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
That's not going to happen anymore.
But we do all that kind of reconstructive work as well.
Well, I remember you did Jeff's eyebrows.
Yep.
Yeah, and really made a big difference for him because the thing was you couldn't see from the side that
correct.
Well.
Correct. It's like wearing a blinder on a horse.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, it starts to obstruct your vision. You can't see in the rearview mirror when you're driving. You have to turn your head to look at anything. So, yes, we still do a lot of that.
Still do a
it's
lot of that.
It's just becoming harder and harder to get it pre-certified.
Yeah. Okay, so it's more of a something that if you want it done, you're probably going to pay more for
well,
it yourself.
Well, no, I mean, we still go to bat for our patients. That's what we do. It's just, you know, sometimes like beating your head against a brick wall.
I've heard a lot of doctors say that, Dr. Ted Vaughn.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not an uncommon refrain in today's modern medicine.
Sure. So we've talked a little bit about fillers. We've talked about some about faceless. We've talked about this cool sculpt and the difference between liposuction. Now, as far as liposuction, that's a more invasive.
It is.
Okay. Takes a longer recovery or?
Well, I mean, it's a procedure that you have to be put to sleep for, okay? Either IV sedation or spinal anesthesia. You know, it's not something that you get up off the OR table and go cycle.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's a, you know, 5 to 7 day recovery for most liposuctions. So, yes, it's an interventional procedure, but it's a fairly quick recovery. I mean, there's not a whole lot of significant downtime with liposuction.
Yeah, I think one of the most probably is some swelling and whatnot.
Yeah,
too.
But, you know, bruising feeling. Yeah. You know, it's sore to the touch, that kind of thing. It's not generally the kind of pain that you have where you're, you know, lying around shoveling pain medicine into your mouth.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. See, we have learned a lot of interesting things. What's the favorite procedure that you like to do?
My favorite procedure?
Yeah.
Is an endoscopic brow lift.
So what's that?
An endoscopic brow lift is a procedure that I do through 3 small incisions in your forehead, and I lift your eyebrows. So it's a very inconspicuous procedure in that people know you look better.
Right, but they can't
figure out. They can't figure out why.
Okay.
Right, so it makes you look rested, younger, less aggravated. It's just a great operation. And it's so subtle, but it's a huge difference in the way you look. It's just people can't figure out why you look different.
Wow. Okay. All right. So now we know the favorite procedure as far as that goes. Other things that if somebody's out there kind of sitting on the fence trying to think, should I pick up the phone and call Dr. Ted Vaughn? That's 223-0505. What would you tell them?
If you think it's right for you, call me.
Yeah. If you just would like to find out if it's right for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a consult does. A consult is finding out what's involved in any procedure, what's the downtime for that procedure, what are the potential risks and complications for that procedure, and then you decide, is this procedure the right thing for me to do?
Sure. And you're not going to do it right then and there.
No.
So you don't have to worry as far as that goes.
We don't clear off the tabletop.
We're ready to go here. Put your head down. Yes. All right. Well, how about for some of our older people, some of the things that you're doing? Some of we've talked about in the past when we've had you on. We've talked about a lot of different things that have hadn't been done for older people. What's one of the most popular things you do for some of our older people?
You're talking about cosmetic-wise?
Yeah.
Certainly facelift would probably be my most popular procedure for those above the age of 60. Eyelid surgery, blepharoplasty, you know, getting the bags off your upper or lower eyelids, brow lifts. I do a lot of brow lifts on people over 60. You know, that age group is probably less enamored with things such as breast augmentation, although I've done a breast augmentation on an 80-year-old.
It's never
reduction.
Too late.
We do reductions, yes but that's
okay.
An insurance procedure.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know, that's something that is medically necessary, not an aesthetic procedure.
I remember one of your clients who told me she was an older person, and she's no longer with us. I mean, she died several years ago. But she told me that she was tired of those puppies looking at the floor. She wanted them shooting right out there at you, and by God, Ted, you did it.
And hopefully she passed on happy.
She did pass on happy from that standpoint, yes. But, you know, that there are certainly so many things that can be done today. I mean, it's a question of if you have the economic ability to do it, there's no reason not to do these things today.
If it's the right thing for you.
If the right thing for you, yeah, exactly.
Everybody's different.
I guess that's the mark of a good plastic surgeon that'll take the time, right?
Yep.
Now, what about these lifestyle lifts that they're always advertising on TV?
Well, Lifestyle Lift just went bankrupt last week. Yeah.
Did they? Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And that was not unexpected. You know, that was basically a marketing ploy. They spent tremendous amounts of money in marketing.
Yeah.
And it finally caught up with them because their results didn't justify their marketing. Yeah, they went bankrupt 2 weeks ago, I believe.
2 weeks ago. Wow.
Yeah. And everybody that had prepaid for their lifestyle facelift got hosed.
Wow. So if you want to come see someone that's going to do it right, you need to give Dr. Ted Vaughn a call, 223-0505. That's 223-0505. You know, Ted, I always enjoy sitting down and talking to you. I always learn. I wanted to learn about this cool sculpting because it just sounds amazing.
It is.
And the fact, and real quick, tell us how they came up with this procedure, because we forgot to talk about that.
It was basically came about when a Harvard scientist, I don't think he was a physician, was examining children who had hollowing out of their cheeks, and it was because they sucked on popsicles all summer long, and it killed a certain percentage of fat cells in their cheeks. And he tried to figure out how we can market that as an aesthetic procedure. And that's how Cool Sculpting came about.
So you never know what's going to start it. Hey, you've been listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Dr. Ted Vaughn, thanks so much for coming out to see us.
And always a pleasure. It's always a joy to see you.
Well, it's great. 223-0505. Give Ted a call. Tell him you heard him right here on WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.